The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him, but if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you.' Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The 72 returned, rejoicing, and said, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us because of your name." Jesus said, "I have observed Satan fall like lightning from the sky. Behold, I have given you the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and upon the full force of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice because the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice because your names are written in heaven." The Gospel of the Lord. When you are preparing to take a trip, do you like to pack light, medium, or heavy? It might make a difference where you're going and how long you'll be gone, but if you were in the group of the 72 disciples named in the gospel reading this morning, and Jesus told you, "I'm sending you out now to the towns and places I'm intending to visit," he would not have wanted you to take anything with you except the clothes on your back. No money bag, no sack, no sandals. He would have told us to get going. Don't even talk to anybody. Don't greet anybody along the way. Don't get distracted. Get moving and proclaim an important message. The kingdom of God is at hand for you. Now, if we were given this command to go out and to travel and to speak this important message, I think it would challenge us in two ways. At least it would challenge me. First of all, that I don't get to take all the things that I think I need. I need to trust that God is going to provide. God is going to make the homes open up where we're going to stay and the food that we're going to eat. This means that we don't have to plan ahead and make a reservation at a hotel or someone else's house. We're just going to have to trust that God will provide. That would be challenging for me. Secondly, another challenge I think is that we're not supposed to get weighed down by either failure or success. The urgency of the gospel message is that we get going. And if the town doesn't accept the message, then we're just going to have to keep moving. Likewise, if there is success, we're not supposed to just sit back and take it easy thinking all the work is done. We need to keep moving, keep the message going out there to all the people that we can visit. The important thing then is to trust and to not get slowed down by either success or failure. But as I read this gospel today, we might think, well, the Lord isn't asking me to leave my home and to go traveling. I'm pretty much settled in. I'm a resident of my house and community, unless we're the person that is going to travel to another country or community, and some people do that in their life. They're called to be missionary disciples, to go out, to travel to other places. And maybe we do that on a missionary trip, but mostly we might say, well, I stay at home. I'm not the kind of person that's going to go out and have to travel with just the clothes on my back. So how does this gospel apply to me today? I could answer by saying, wherever you are, and wherever I am, we're called to be a missionary disciple right there, to share the good news of the kingdom of God, that the kingdom of God has come to our life. Salvation has come to us through Jesus Christ. Our sins have been forgiven. We have our future set for us towards the kingdom of heaven. Salvation has been given to us, and all we need to do is accept that and then live the gospel message. Wherever we are, we can live that message. If we're called to travel, to go out, okay, that's what we'll do. If we're called to just live in our home, in our community, our workplace, our school, wherever we are, we can be a missionary disciple, sharing the good news, first of all, by our attitude about life. We can think about, am I filled with joy? I hope that we are filled with joy deep in our heart, that our salvation has been given. The big picture is that our future is secure in Jesus Christ. Yes, we will face challenges day by day. We're going to go through times of suffering and loss. We all face that as part of life. But the big picture is that we can trust that God will provide and has provided for us. So deep in our heart and soul, we have joy and security and peace. And so many people in the world are looking for that kind of peace that we have found already, and that we can share with them the relationship we have with Christ. So first of all, our attitude about our life is very positive and joyful. Secondly, that we look for ways, no matter where we are, whatever community we're part of, to speak of our faith if the opportunity comes up. Maybe somebody we know is searching or struggling in their life, and we can mention that we'll pray for them. We might invite them to come to church with us. Whatever they're going through, maybe the Lord is opening a little door for you, if they trust you, to share something of your faith with them. That can be a way that we share faith and invite people to the joy we have found. And thirdly, that we look for ways to serve other people. Even if they're not a believer or a Catholic or a Christian, no matter who they are, that if they're in need, we would look to see Christ in them and see what we could do to help. That we look for ways to serve each other, because in every person, at every stage of life, from conception until natural death, that person is made in the image of Christ and deserves respect and honor. So the things I speak of may seem pretty big, and maybe we're looking for big ways to share faith and the kingdom of God with others. But let me suggest a way that is not a very big way, but is a significant way, and it's the way that we welcome each other at Mass. I recently found an article online, and this was at a website called Grotto Network. Grotto Network. It's a website specifically set up for millennials. These are the people in their 20s and 30s. And earlier this summer, I was at the Presbyteral Assembly in Rochester, Minnesota. Every other year, all the priests of the diocese gather for a time of learning and faith. And we were talking about the millennials. How do we attract more young people to church? And where have they gone? Why aren't more of the younger generation coming to church and committing to church and being part of a community? And so one of the speakers we heard at the conference talked about this website, Grotto Network, has a very interesting selection of articles. And one of them was written by a young woman who goes around traveling, speaking about the Catholic faith. She talks to youth conferences and to other national audiences. Her name is Katie McGrady. Katie McGrady, and she wrote an article about traveling one time, and she was in an airport, and actually it was in Minnesota. She was traveling home where she lives in Louisiana, and she was waiting in line at Chili's in Terminal A. Maybe you've been there. She was ordering her food, and as she was looking at her cell phone, checking her email, she says, "The rosary in my pocket fell out a little bit, and the man standing next to me must have seen it because he said to me, 'Are you a Catholic?'" She said, "Yes." And then he said, "I used to be Catholic." How many of us have heard that kind of conversation start? And then he said, "Well, I stopped going to church. I moved and I went to a different parish because I just didn't feel like I fit in at church." He kept going, "You know, nobody there at church even asked me my name. Not once. It's like nobody wanted me there." Katie says, "Well, what is your name?" He said, "I'm Joe." "Well, Joe, I'm Katie, and I hope you come back to church. I want you there, and I hope you come back." He turned away, our conversation ended, and then they called me to pick up my food, and we parted. As he turned back around, he took one more look at me and said, "I know it's a silly reason to stop going to church because nobody asked me my name, but isn't that the first thing Jesus would want us to know about each other?" That encounter with Joe profoundly moved me, not because anything earth-shattering theological was shared or because he told me anything I didn't know already, but simply because he spoke up. He was unafraid to name why he left the church, and to show the brokenness in his life broke my heart. He felt alone in the house of God, the one place where no one should ever feel unwelcome, unwanted, or unnoticed. He felt unseen by a church whose entire purpose is to help people see Jesus, oftentimes in the faces of those we see around us. He felt unimportant, ignored, and cast aside by people who didn't acknowledge his presence, notice he was there, or notice when he left. I'm sure the people at the parish Joe went to were well-meaning, kind individuals who didn't maliciously ignore him or purposefully not ask him his name. I hope that if he had gone up to one of them and introduced himself, he would have been met with warmth and welcome. But the new guy at church shouldn't have to seek out community. The people who have always been there should be the ones to seek out the lost, to welcome the stranger, and make them feel at home. The article goes on by Katie to talk about a few more things about how to welcome millennials. And the point that she makes in the article is that young people are looking for community. It's just that maybe at times we don't look and notice that they're wanting that kind of a welcome. So this brings up why here at St. Paschal's we've had a long tradition, even before I arrived here, of you being a welcoming people. I see this in the way that you are greeters before Mass out in the gathering space. As people walk in, you say hello and hand them the worship program. We do that purposefully because we want people to feel welcomed, not only the ones we know and see every week, but the strangers. So thank you to the greeters who do that, to the ushers who are helpful to people. After Mass, when we go for fellowship, for refreshments, that we look for ways to talk to people, not just the ones we see every Sunday, but the new ones that maybe are looking to meet someone. And then in the pews before Mass, I know this is just a small thing that we do. I do a little introduction before Mass starts, and then I say, "Please stand and say hello, good morning to the people next to you." Now, I know that the people you sit next to, you probably see every Sunday, but maybe you don't. And maybe that person is visiting here and they would appreciate a welcome, an introduction, and it might just take 10 seconds. That could make a big difference in somebody's life. It's just one way that being a welcoming person, that we can proclaim the kingdom of God. It's just one small way, but sharing joy and love with other people in the name of Christ makes a difference. Brothers and sisters, we're all called to be missionary disciples, to pack light, to keep moving, to not get weighed down by worries and anxiety, but to know God will provide, and then to know that wherever we are, we can always proclaim the joy of the kingdom of God.